More than 250 American families are in diplomatic limbo today after the government of Russia said it would suspend all adoptions from the United States, not to mention emotional limbo. Meredith and Chris Bell of New Boston, New Hampshire, are one of those families. They're anxious to adopt three sisters from Russia, but now have no idea if that will happen.
It's very frustrating. I mean, part of the adoption process is you have to have the rooms all ready. You have to take pictures. So their rooms are set. There's clothes in their drawers. You know, my son has been eagerly awaiting the arrival of his sisters. You know, we have pictures. We know their names. So, yeah, it's pretty somber right now at our house.
The announcement in Russia of the suspension of adoptions came a week after an adoptive mother in Tennessee sent a 7-year-old boy back to Russia alone, with a note pinned to him saying he was violent and has severe psychopathic issues. So what's all this mean for hopeful parents here in New England, and what's it mean for international adoptions in general? Joining us to discuss all this is Adam Pertman, Executive Director of the Evan B. Donaldson Adoption Institute, a nonprofit specializing in adoption research and policy. Good morning, Adam, and thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition.
My pleasure to be here.
Adam, in Massachusetts, more families adopt children from Russia than from any other country except from China. Do you worry that this is all going to scare some parents away from adoption?
Oh, I do indeed. I worry, and my heart goes out to them, but I have to say that they are not my primary concern. The adults in the picture, you know, this is a tough time for them, but the people who are suffering the most and will suffer the most if this freeze continues is those kids who stay in institutionalized care.
How much confusion is there between the U.S. and Russia right now over this flap?
Well, I don't know if it's confusion as much as it's moving chess pieces around. Everybody wants to make this happen, I think. I do believe that both sides want to resume adoptions. Everyone also wants to save face and make it clear that what happened in the Tennessee case is unacceptable and cannot continue. So some of it may start to feel like window dressing. How do we make it feel that way and continue on? But some of it has to be substantive. They have to put some processes in place so it doesn't happen again. What shouldn't happen is for it to take so long again that the victims become the kids who stay in orphanages.
Let's talk a little bit more, Adam, about the Russian decision. The New Hampshire woman we heard from a few minutes ago, Meredith Bell, blames the Tennessee mother for this international dust-up. Let's hear from her again.
Oh, I have no anger towards the country of Russia whatsoever. I can empathize with this position they're in. I can only imagine how we as Americans would feel if someone shipped a child back to us.
Adam, there's been incredible anger toward that Tennessee mother who sent the boy back to Russia. She says she was truly scared of that 7-year-old boy. But from the Tennessee mother's point of view here for a second, is there sometimes trouble in kids that come to the U.S. adopted from Russia?
There are kids who are really tough. We have to remember that virtually all of these children, whether they're from Russian orphanage or another one, or for that matter, from foster care in the United States, what happened to them before the adoption was very troubling. I mean, in the case of foster care, they were abused or neglected. In the case of the Russian or other orphanage kids, they have lived in institutions. No child who goes through that kind of trauma escapes unscathed. And so they will have issues. Some are severe, some are less severe. But it's understandable that parents have issues with them. The big question is, what do we do about those issues? Parental responsibility is making sure you take care of the issues that your child has.
Is part of the problem, then, that the eyes of adoptive parents are sometimes not opened wide enough?
You bet. I think the problems here are systemic. I don't know. I just don't know the details of this case well enough. No one does to know for sure what happened. Very few people in our country feel they get sufficient services, resources with which to help their kids, whether they're adopted or not adopted. If she had had sufficient resources, this might never have happened.
Part of what the Russian government has said it wants of the United States before adoptions are allowed to resume are stricter legal requirements on adoptive parents. Does that seem reasonable to you?
Depends on what the legal requirements are. I do think that it's important that parents be vetted. And that's not, you know, to a white glove test. That's to say, is the potential parent up to the task of that particular kid.
And do you think that the delegation the U.S. is sending to Moscow next week to try and sort all this out will eventually solve these issues and adoptions from Russia will resume and quickly?
I do believe they'll get to a place where they can do this. We have to keep in mind that tens of thousands of kids from Russian orphanages and many, many more than that from others have gone into families where they are successful. And, you know, just one disruption, one bad thing is one too many. I absolutely buy that. We need to fix it. But in the meantime, I have to keep coming around this circle. If we don't do this rapidly, the people who suffer are not the parents, are not the people in the diplomatic process. The people who suffer are the kids who remain institutionalized.
Adam Pertman, thank you very much for speaking to Morning Edition.
My pleasure.
Adam Pertman is the executive director of the Evan B. Donaldson Adoption Institute and a former journalist for the Boston Globe. He lives in Newton.